This year's Advent series is based on the variety of titles that are given to Jesus, titles that we not only find in Scripture itself, but that we often sing about whenever we sing that familiar carol, O Come, Emmanuel. And these titles not only invite us to contemplate the character of God, but they also invite us to better understand his nature. Last week we spent some time reflecting on the titles Son of Righteousness, Day Spring, and Bright Morning Star. This morning we're focusing simply on the title Wisdom from on High. But before we do that, let's come to God in prayer together. Let's pray. O wisdom coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, pervading and permeating all creation, you order all things with strength and with gentleness. So come now and teach us the way of salvation. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, one of the things that I used to do when I was first sensing a call to ministry, so I used to collect sermon tapes of good sermons that stood out to me. You know, those old cassette tapes that used to be made for shut-ins and for whoever else wanted a copy of that week's service. Cassette tapes. I bet some of the men near my age used to create song mixes on those tapes and then give it to their significant other. Just admit it. I personally never had much success with that method of trying to win a girl's heart. For whatever reason, a tape of Lionel Richie singing Stuck on You or Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For just didn't do the trick. For that matter, neither did Madonna singing Crazy for You and Belinda Carlisle singing Heaven is a Place on Earth. High school memories or nightmares, gotta love them. I don't know if I have any of those song mix tapes anymore, but from time to time, I still listen to some of those sermon tapes. I love hearing the scratchy, distant voice of good sermons preached back in the 80s and 90s, sermons that God used to impact and shape my heart, sermons that boldly proclaimed God's truth, sermons that may be somewhat old but are just as applicable today as they were back then. Here in our passage, we hear another voice that comes to us out of the even more distant past. The voice of wisdom herself. Wisdom that says to us, listen, for I have worthy things to say, and I open my lips to speak what is right. Wisdom. That's what the entire book of Proverbs is all about. It's about seeking after and inquiring wisdom, because it's wisdom that leads to life. But in order for a person to acquire wisdom, one must also know what wisdom is, why it's needed, where it comes from, and specifically how it can be acquired. The what, the why, the where, the how of wisdom herself. So, first of all, what is wisdom? What is it? Well, among other things, wisdom is knowledge, it's insight, it's understanding. It's looking to God for guidance in life. And above all, it's humility of heart before the face of God. Humility of heart before the face of God. Wisdom discerns the way that leads to success and well-being. The opposite of wisdom, folly, leads to failure, futility, emptiness, and ultimately to death. So ultimately, wisdom is something we desire because, well, it leads to life. In fact, we could even say, and we're entering a little into the why question now, if we don't have wisdom, our lives are going to be a mess. Wisdom is more important than all the wealth, all the fame, all the power in the world. It's more important than beauty, intellect, or talent. It's more important than anything else in this world that we might desire. Our text from James tells us that heavenly wisdom is first of all pure, and then it's peace-loving. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. Wisdom is not just moral goodness. It certainly contains that. It's far more than that. Wisdom is not just knowledge either. It's more than just knowing the facts and the rules. No, true wisdom helps us to know how to use knowledge and to make good, godly decisions. Wisdom is insight, understanding, prudence. It's knowing how things truly work and are, and also knowing what to do about it. Biblical scholar Gerhard von Rad writes, "Wisdom is being competent with regard to the realities of life." Being competent with regard to the realities of life. It's doing the right thing, even when the rules don't apply. Wisdom is knowing how to balance both truth and grace when both are needed to be spoken. Wisdom is knowing how to flourish, even when our life circumstances are difficult. Wisdom knows how to navigate conflict well and is not threatened by it. It's not afraid of constructive criticism or feedback. Wisdom is the ability to make good and important life decisions when things aren't as clear as we would like them to be. Where should I go to college? Should I or should I not get married? If so, if God is calling me to marriage, what kind of person should I marry? What kind of career should I pursue? What is God calling me to do with my life? And how can I best glorify Him through all the stages of my life? How can I best honor Him not only when I'm young, but also when I'm retired? And add your own many big questions to that list. Certainly, we all need wisdom. So where does wisdom come from? Scripture makes that clear too. All true wisdom comes from God. He's the source of wisdom. He is, as Paul writes in Romans 16, the only wise God. Where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell, writes Job? Only in God. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. By His knowledge, the waters were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. Wisdom not only comes from God, it's also God's gift to us. God is not only the source of wisdom, He alone is the one who gives wisdom to humanity. Okay, then how does one acquire wisdom? How do we receive it? Well, first, by receiving God. The book of Proverbs makes it clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you want to grow in righteousness, diligence, generosity, peacefulness, and humility? All the things that wisdom commends? Then seek God. Do you want to keep away from anger, a quick temper, and strife, sloth, greed, violence? All the things that wisdom warns us against? Then you must come close to the source of wisdom herself. Come close to the one who in the beginning, in wisdom, designed the world as a place of beauty, order, joy, and peace. Come close to the kind of wisdom that comes from on high. In Proverbs 8, wisdom is described as a woman calling out to get people's attention. The chapter reads like an ancient advertisement. It names all the great things wisdom can do for those who let her in. Are you tired of constantly struggling to know what to do in challenging circumstances or in difficult situations? Do you struggle with trusting your instincts in certain settings and places? Are you tired of doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? Wisdom is knocking. Just open the door. In addition, take note of wisdom's presence at creation itself. According to our passage, wisdom was already present before God began to create the world. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there. I was there when he set the heavens in place. And as we go on to read the rest of the passage, wisdom sounds a lot like an excited child, thrilled to accompany the Creator himself as the creation is called and spun into being. So again, here in our passage, wisdom is far more than just the body and the sum of knowledge itself. Wisdom is deeply personal. There's a relationship between wisdom and the Creator, a relationship that has always been and always will be. In fact, the way that wisdom is described in the book of Proverbs sounds a lot like Jesus. Jesus was present at creation. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts and promises to come in and help us make better choices. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit who can help us to discern. Wisdom is not simply gained by mastering a bunch of rules. It's gained through a personal relationship, a love affair with the one who is true wisdom from on high. His name is Jesus. The wisdom of God is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's only through a relationship with him that one gains incredible knowledge and insight. It's only through a relationship with Jesus that one becomes truly wise. Now, the context of our text from the book of 1 Corinthians is that Paul is just beginning to do a pastoral intervention with a church that's having serious problems. There's significant division within the church. There's gossiping, backbiting, lawsuits among believers, sexual immorality. Corinth is an incredibly immoral city. In fact, there was a word used back then, a Corinthianizer. It basically meant to live without any morals. This is a church that's in serious trouble. A church desperately in need of wisdom. Apparently, some of the more influential members considered themselves quite highly gifted and intelligent. In other words, they didn't lack when it came to self-confidence. Truth be told, they were filled with a lot of pride. And so here in our passage, Paul reminds them that the personification of divine wisdom is Jesus Christ. And not just the life and the ministry of Jesus, but Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified, Paul writes, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom he has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's not a subject to be studied and mastered. He's not a body of knowledge to be committed to memory, debated over, or used for personal advancement. No, the wisdom from on high is a living person who willingly gives up glory itself so that we might receive it. And now the good news for us today is that same Jesus is present here. Through His Word and through His Spirit, Jesus, the wisdom of heaven, is present with us in all of the daily circumstances and struggles of our own lives. For you see, when we are bound to Him by faith, He is fully a part of us, and He is ready to give us the wisdom that we need each and every day. It's interesting to note that John 1, a familiar Advent passage, is one that is based almost completely on Proverbs 8. You know the opening passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And the Greek word that's used here, logos, has wisdom connotations. And so another potential way of translating or reading that text is simply like this. In the beginning was the wisdom, and the wisdom was with God, and the wisdom was God. The wisdom was with God in the beginning, and through the wisdom all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And then later, the wisdom of God became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, at the very beginning of time, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a perfect relationship with each other. And it was out of this perfect relationship that the world itself was created and humanity was invited to share in its goodness. Sin has certainly marred the world and our relationship with the Creator. But in incarnate wisdom, in Jesus Christ, God invites us back into the relationship and He reconciles us to God. And it's only through relationship with incarnate wisdom that heavenly wisdom is obtained. It's only through a relationship with Jesus that you and I begin to reflect the purity, the peace, and the sincere mercy of wisdom from on high. So let me close this morning with a few practical applications of what wisdom from on high might look like in our own lives. James tells us that the wisdom of God is first of all pure, that it's holy and unblemished. Wisdom brings order to chaos and confusion because it is wholeheartedly devoted to God's purposes. In short, heavenly wisdom places God first in every area of our lives. Secondly, heavenly wisdom is peaceful. It's considerate. It's submissive. It avoids unnecessary conflict. It refrains from violence and quarrels. It always seeks reconciliation. And no doubt, godly wisdom may lead one to fight and defend what is good and true. But if given the choice, it's more eager to live at peace. Heavenly wisdom yields easily when moral issues aren't at stake. And then thirdly, heavenly wisdom is also full of mercy and good fruit. It quickly overlooks small faults in others. It eagerly grants forgiveness when it is sought. Like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, heavenly wisdom always rejoices when the erring child returns home. And then finally, heavenly wisdom is impartial. It's sincere. What you see is what you get. Heavenly wisdom disdains hypocrisy, is refreshingly honest. One's character remains consistent, no matter what the circumstance. Friends, I would submit to you this morning that our broken world desperately needs that kind of wisdom. Wisdom from on high. Wisdom that changes hearts. Wisdom that pursues purity, peace, mercy, and sincerity. Wisdom that raises a harvest of righteousness. The season of Advent reminds us that such a wisdom once dwelt among us. Again, his name is Jesus. Was anyone ever as pure and as holy as he? Was anyone ever as gentle and meek? Jesus Christ was full of divine power and authority, and yet he willingly humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And for all of his power and purity, he not once despised the weak and the lowly. There never has been one like him, so full of mercy. And like a tender parent with their children, like a shepherd with a straying sheep, Christ's mercy not only filled him, but overflowed from him. And of course, he was also impartial and sincere. He abhorred all forms of hypocrisy. He ministered among both the rich and the poor. It made no difference. From poor widows and prostitutes to rich tax collectors and Pharisees, all were welcome to receive him. And so another way of applying all of this is to simply say that Jesus Christ is wisdom to us, for us, and with us. He is wisdom to us in that he is the ultimate argument for the existence of God. He is our sinless Savior, the perfect righteousness, the perfect righteous one. He is wisdom for us because he came to earth to pay the debt that we owe. He lived, he died, he was resurrected for us, and for us. And he is wisdom with us. He is, as we sang at the beginning, Emmanuel, God with us. And he's the only one who can truly give us rest for our weary soul. Through his word and through his spirit, he is with us today and he promises to be with us for all eternity. Jesus Christ is wisdom from above, the wisdom from on high. The one who came to sow and reap a harvest of righteousness in the land of deep darkness. Christ has come and one day he will come again. And in the meantime, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.